In this episode of the Future Car Podcast, Nand Kochhar, VP of Automotive and Transportation Industries, and I, Connor Pike, Thought Leadership Team Writer, continue our series of conversations on autonomous vehicles and how they will shape the future of mobility. Today, we are looking at the overall dynamics in the automotive industry with a special focus on the crucial topic of sustainability. Automotive companies and manufacturers have retooled their strategies to get us to a greener future. But how can these companies achieve this without sacrificing innovation, particularly in their pursuit of automated driving? To help us dive into how the automotive industry is working to achieve sustainability standards and goals, Nand and I are joined by Aaron Davola, Head of Sustainability at Siemens Digital Industries. So welcome, Aaron, and thank you so much for joining Nand and I today. We're really excited to have you on the podcast. Just to get started, I was hoping you could give our listeners a brief summary of your role as Head of Sustainability and your experience as well.
So thank you, Connor and Nand, so much for having me today. I'm super excited to talk a little bit about the automotive industry and the role that sustainability plays. In my current role at Siemens Digital Industries, I'm responsible for really three things. The first is the sustainability in our own operations. These are our scope one and scope two emissions in the CO2 lane, but also looking at our efficient use of resources, how we're driving circularity, and how we're providing the right environment for the societies and the people in which we operate. So we look at this through the lens of our offices, our production facilities, and the vehicles that we use as part of our own fleet. The second area of my responsibility is in that of our products, both our hardware products that help with automation and our software products for design and operation. And what we do there is really look at those life cycle impacts on the environment of those products. So what's happening in their supply chains, what's happening in their production, and then what's happening in the use phase and ultimately at the end of life of those products. And my third area of focus is really on our own portfolio and our offering. These challenges that we're facing to be more sustainable in our operations and our products are not unique to Siemens. And we have a really wide variety of tools that are available that can help others in our industrial space become more sustainable. So those are really the three big areas that we focus on in the sustainability practice here at Siemens DI.
Awesome. So, as we move into the future, sustainability has clearly become a priority in the automotive and transportation industry. So for Aaron and Nand, I'm curious how this is impacting the overall strategies and priorities of automotive companies. And on top of that, does it make industry partnerships more important to success?
Yeah, I think what you're seeing so much, especially in automotive and transportation, and really those industries that are tied to consumers, they're really aware of the market environments around them, where you see trends around legislation coming, you see commitments around net zero and the Paris Agreement for that 1.5C limiting. Those aren't as far away as they used to be. And companies are really looking for those strategies to implement and execute to become more sustainable in what they're doing every day. The other thing as a manufacturer that becomes very apparent is that your own emissions and your own impacts within those factories, within those buildings, is one level, but you have to really be looking at both your scope three upstream, which means your supply chain, and your scope three downstream, which is what's happening with your products during their use phase. And in the case of automotive industry, they've really taken a great approach at looking at that scope three downstream with the invent and the really the scaling of electrical vehicle production and participation in the market.
Yeah, Connor, I agree with everything Aaron said. One additional point is I think the companies, automotive companies, have recognized to make a business case out of the sustainability to be a viable business for a medium and long term, not only just a short term benefits. So it is adding a lot of value. It's the right thing to do. It's not only just the, in the past was a mandate from a regulatory requirements and meeting the criteria and emissions and so on, but now companies have realized that sustainability is the right thing to do for their business, both from a brand recognition perspective and delivering value to their end customers. So that's a very important aspect. And to deliver that, partnerships, no one company can do such a big initiative on their own. So partnerships have become very important, and they've recognized that. And Aaron touched on partnerships could be at a very upfront stage of digging the raw materials with the mining industries, at the tail end partnerships with the recycling and the reuse of stuff, because not every OEM and automotive company have the entire vertically connected chain, so they build partnerships so they can address the sustainability in a holistic sense.
You know, Nand hits on a really interesting point there, which is that the role that some of these partnerships really play. And I think the first one is, as we look at some of the legislation and look at some of the targets, there is not yet the landscape that has a common language or common definitions or common calculation methods. And what we're seeing in automotive in particular with organizations like Catena X is really competitors within the same industry coming together and saying, hey, what's our language going to be for our industry? And how do we drive that in the first space? So, you know, what are the rules of the game, so to speak? And then the next place where those partnerships come in handy really along the value chain is, now that I know what I'm trying to count and how I'm going to count it, we really don't have all of the transparency to these really varied environmental impacts. And that's another place where being lockstep with your supply chain, with your distributors, or how you, with your dealers, how you're bringing products to market, and then really understanding how your consumers are using those products are critical to having those full life cycle impacts. And you can't, no one enterprise can do that alone. You really do need to have a network or an ecosystem of partners working together to really be effective here.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of, you know, we talked a bit about sort of business goals for automotive companies and how sustainability plays a role. Obviously, one of the other big things that a lot of these companies are targeting is autonomous vehicles, hence the topic of this podcast. So I guess I'm curious, you know, how do these things synergize? Do autonomous vehicles play a role in the sustainability ambitions of these automotive companies? You know, do AVs bring any advantages in the pursuit of environmental goals?
You know, from my perspective, there's been a couple of articles, but not really nearly enough studies done on what autonomous vehicles mean to transportation. But I can share with you all that I have a 16-year-old driver at my house, and how he operates a vehicle, I'm sure, is not optimized for fuel efficiency. And this is one of the things that we can really think about quite a bit, is how you operate that piece of equipment has an impact on its environmental impacts, I guess, to use the same word again there. But really being able to look at and optimize for those parameters alongside performance, alongside range and safety is really, I think, a key to where autonomous vehicles can really play a bigger role there long term. And it's a complicated problem to solve. And I think that's where a lot of the tools and data management that comes in is there. But I think Nan might have a lot more technical information to share here.
I fully agree. So, Connor, as you know, autonomous vehicle comes with all the basics, what's needed for constant learning and constantly updating and making a next generation of vehicles better than the ones before. So it is the sensing technologies, it's the processing of all that information, and then reacting to that information. So autonomous vehicles, by the definition, come equipped with all those data collection modes, and now companies can either collect the driver behavior, just like Aaron's example. They can also collect a lot of other information from a traffic standpoint and driving behavior standpoint, and propose, based on all the computing power which is on autonomous vehicles, what the optimum solutions are, what the next generation of vehicles need to be modified with, etc. So that's why autonomous vehicles play a big role in overall delivering the sustainability. And again, it might not be a single silver bullet. It's combination of all these little things you can add up, and as things evolve, companies find a ways of leveraging that data, that information, which is available for free, so to say, now, since all of the equipment is already in these vehicles.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that for a vehicle, the environmental impacts during that use phase are the most significant impacts. So anything we can do to manage those and optimize them, as Nan outlaid there, can have a bigger impact.
So let me, Aaron, we tend to focus on how digitalization and digital twin technologies and all the other digital tools can help overcome the engineering challenges of the future. In your mind, how does digitalization and the collection of data empower companies to achieve sustainability targets while maintaining profitability and keeping up with the pace of innovation?
We look at digitalization or becoming a digital enterprise as the how, supporting the why of sustainability. And I think about this, and I had a conversation just a couple of weeks ago about how hard the role of a design engineer has become. You know, if you go back 30, 40 years, they were looking at performance, maybe a little bit of quality, but really weren't thinking about design for service, design for manufacturability. And now we've got design for sustainability coming in. And so we really are adding more and more parameters that we need to manage to. And this is where data management and having a very comprehensive digital twin that can speak to performance metrics, can speak to geometry, can speak to the physics of a product at the same time as those environmental impacts is so key. Because you're not trying to deliver just one thing. You're trying to deliver products that are better, that are faster, that are more profitable and more sustainable all at the same time. And I know it sounds like an almost impossible job, but I think the technology is there to really help people make those better decisions in the future.
Well, that's a very good point. So it's not only a digital twin of product during development and manufacturing, it is also during operations and then having a closed loop process to provide insights. And that's where we, I think, end up leveraging a lot of the IoT and analytics technologies to get that closed loop processes continuously updating and refining the models for next generation. Let's switch to now upcoming government regulations. They'll have a huge influence on automotive industry's sustainability initiatives. Now, how can digitalization help automotive companies comply with these new regulations?
So from my perspective, there's a few things that really stand out. The first is really driving that transparency and connecting data. You know, I was at Climate Week just a few weeks ago, and I listened to this really great speaker talk about taking collective action and how we need to take action as an ecosystem. But that action really needs to be based on some collective intelligence. And that collective intelligence comes from taking these data sources, getting more complete and more comprehensive information, and then being able to make decisions that drive sustainability impacts wherever they go along that particular life cycle. And I think that that's an interesting thing as you look at regulations, is that they want to have what we've seen, at least in the EU, is that there's a drive to hold the manufacturer responsible for those emissions cradle to next cradle. And to do that, you need to understand what those impacts are, both in the supply chain phases, in the phase when it's inside your factory, and then what's going on in the use phase. And using digitalization to pull those data sources together to point to the right decisions from that data is really what we mean by leveraging collective intelligence and being able to say, we understand what's going on from end to end. And now I know where I need to work to optimize instead of doing these smaller, more localized optimizations because you only have a segment of the complete picture with the data. So I think when we have those regulations, what they start doing is providing us with transparency. But once we have that transparency, now we've got the power to really make huge impacts.
That's a very good point. I think when I was in the industry, we were always optimizing for cost, and it was always making decisions of what the landed cost of the parts is going to be no matter where it is being built. So you could start to take into account. And I look back and say our CO2 calculations or the environmental impact is equally important, just the way we calculate or measure cost. It impacts the same way where we build the parts and what it takes to build those parts from environment perspectives.
Well, and maybe interesting, if you're a podcast listener today, maybe you love podcasts as much as I do, but there's a great podcast that Malcolm Gladwell did as part of his revisionist history where he talked about the environmental footprint of a load of laundry and how the best thing that Procter & Gamble, the manufacturer of detergent, could do was look at that whole load of laundry. And what they learned is that the largest environmental impacts were happening by heating the water to run the wash cycle. And so the most impactful decision they could make was to make their detergent work just as effectively in cold water. And that's one of those impacts you don't see if you're only looking at what's happening with inside your factory. So maybe that's a good example of what I mean when we talk about looking at that whole life cycle. And I think with the autonomous vehicle, that's really within that driver behavior that has an impact that you want to have more control over. And I think that this is one of those ways that we can really drive those overall impacts by managing them and optimizing for impacts alongside speed or safety and all the other important impacts that you're looking for out of an autonomous vehicle.
So that does it for us today. We'll be back on this feed soon with the second part of this discussion. Until then, thank you so much for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next time.